the book of 1 Samuel. This is our 23rd study and our final study in 1 Samuel. We come to chapter 31. And Father, we ask that you would add your blessing to the word that we're about to read in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a short study. We're going to begin our actual studying of this book in verse 5 today. But I want to begin reading in verse 1 of 1 Samuel 31. Now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines and fell down slain in Mount Gilboa. And the Philistines followed hard upon Saul and upon his sons, and the Philistines slew Jonathan and Abinadab and Malchishua, Saul's son. And the battle went heavily against Saul, and the archers hit him, and he was severely wounded by the archers. Then said Saul unto his armor bearer, Draw thy sword, and thrust me through with it, lest these uncircumcised come and thrust me through and abuse me. But his armor bearer would not, for he was very much afraid. Therefore Saul took a sword and fell upon it. And when his armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he fell likewise upon his sword and died with him. Saul was the authority figure in this servant's life. So he did as Saul did. You know, that was normal for his leader. I guess that's what normal is. I guess I have to kill myself in a situation like this. There's a lot of people out there who have no clue as to what normal is. A lot of people out there are looking for normal. And they look to see what is normal for others so they can believe in something too, maybe. People are looking for something to latch onto, to believe in. That's another reason for us Christians to stay close to God. Because we do have normal. And we don't know who may be looking to us for normal. And normal is Jesus Christ and living for our Creator. Verse 6, So Saul died, and his three sons, and his armor-bearer, and all his men that same day together. Notice, Saul died, his three sons died, the armor-bearer died, and all of his men died that same day together. There were a lot of widows in Israel after this battle, and a lot of children without their fathers because of Saul's rebellion. Satan does not have to get you to sin to bring misery into your life. All he has to do is get someone connected to you to sin. And the misery that is caused by their sin can spread into your life. A lot of misery caused by the sin of one man. Right here. Verse 7, And when the men of Israel who were on the other side of the valley, and they who were on the other side of the Jordan, saw that the men of Israel fled, and that Saul and his sons were dead, they forsook the cities and fled. And the Philistines came and dwelt in them. The Israelites just scattered. A lot of bad here. And Saul can be blamed for this bad, I suppose. But really, we can actually take it back one step further to the Israelites themselves, who about 40 years earlier rejected God as king and demanded a human king like all other nations. And they got what they wanted, Saul. You can trace all this bad that you're seeing in Israel right here back to the Israelites' rejection of God. Because when we remove the lordship of Christ from any area of our life, we remove a lot of good that could have been, and we replace it with a lot of bad. And that's a tragedy because life is too short to do that. 8. And it came to pass on the next day, when the Philistines came to strip the slain, that they found Saul and his three sons fallen in Mount Gilboa. Saul is dead, and so are his sons, who normally would have been the heir to his throne. And so these Philistines who found the bodies, they must have been licking their chops thinking, wow, there's no one left to lead Israel. They are sitting ducks. They, no leader. We'll just wipe them out right now. This is a big prize for the Philistines, the king of Israel plus his sons. Verse 9, and they cut off his head, stripped off his armor, and sent into the land of the Philistines round about to publish it in the house of their idols and among the people. The Philistines are just rejoicing in this, and they cut off Saul's head to emphasize their total victory over Israel. They put Saul's armor in the temple of their false god as a way of proclaiming victory over the God of Israel. The Philistines are saying, our God beat your God, Israel. And they're flaunting themselves. What the Philistines do not understand, however, is that they defeated Saul. True. But they defeated him with the help of Almighty God, who was simply using the Philistines as a whip to judge Saul. Verse 10. And they put his armor in the house of Ashtaroth, and that is their idol. They put Saul's armor in the house of Ashtaroth, and they fastened his body to the wall of Bethshan. And so they chop off Saul's head, and they nail his body to a wall. Pretty gruesome thing to think about, but I can tell you this, if Saul is in hell, having his head chopped off and his body nailed to a wall is the least of his problems. He doesn't even care. Does not matter if a person is a legendary hero or a legendary bum. Doesn't matter. Either way, nothing means anything to them. If they are grinding their teeth and suffering in the flames of hell, it doesn't matter if you were filthy rich when you were alive or living in the poorhouse. If you're in hell, nothing matters anymore. 11. When the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead heard of that which the Philistines had done to Saul, all the valiant men arose and went all night and took the body of Saul and the bodies of his sons from the wall of Bethshan and came to Jabesh and burned them there. So these valiant men from the cities of Jabesh-Gilead, they remembered 40 years earlier when Saul was just a new king. And he wasn't bad right at first. Saul bravely rescued the people of Jabesh-Gilead from their enemies. He rescued them. They never forgot that. So even though Saul has done a lot of bad things and was responsible for a lot of misery over the years, these men risked their lives to take the body back to Israel and at least give it a decent burial. The men of Jabesh-Gilead did not forget that one good thing that Saul did. And they remind me of Jesus Christ for that reason. Because the Bible is clear. God is faithful. He will not forget the good things that we have done for Him. And as Christians, we do a lot of things that are wrong. Let's be honest, we all do. And there are a lot of right things that we probably don't do. And we probably don't live up to our own expectations. We probably disappoint ourselves. At least we should, and we certainly don't live up to God's standards. But the right that we do, even in the midst of the wrong that we do, will not be forgotten. And as undeserving as we may be, we will be rewarded for all the good things we do by the Lord Jesus Christ. He will not forget any more than the men of Jabesh-Gilead forgot. Or they didn't forget. Verse 13. And they took their bones and buried them under a tree at Jabesh and fasted 7 days. And that's it for Saul. And remember, Saul was the people's choice to be king. He was the people's choice. At first, very popular, but he was a failure in the end. He was a miserable moral failure, and as a result of that, he was a miserable political failure as well. He died a disgraceful death, and he left Israel in a big mess. And the lesson for us is this: do not worry about being the people's choice. It's always the people's choice. So what? What good did it do him? What good did it do them? Don't worry about being the people's choice. Worry about living for God. Being the people's choice may make us popular, but in the end, we'll be left with nothing. Well, we end the book of 1 Samuel right here. We'll pick it up in 2 Samuel chapter 1 next time. Until then, so long, everyone.